Radio MD. RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for scrumptious and salubrious all wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know you are. And I know that you know that means it's time once again for another Code Delicious. And today I've got a question for you. So as always, I want to know what you think. So feel free to call in. We have a toll-free number for you, 877-711-5211. Once again, that's toll-free, 877-711-5211. Or just tweet me at WCWD. So my question today is, are you experienced? You know, folks, great art, like a great memory, is timeless. It's been almost 50 years ago that the incomparable Jimi Hendrix gave us a classic conundrum swaddled in rock and roll. But before we can answer the question, we must define the parameters. What is the experience? Or specifically, in our case, here at the intersection of the fork and the knife, what is the food experience? Intuitively, we recognize that the food experience involves eating, but also that there is something significantly more difficult, more ethereal, more ambiguous to define. It is this unconscious, non-victual serving of the meal. That is the living portion of the feast. It, not the food, makes the event authentic. Now, the presence of company often helps define this moment, but it need not be. It is the environment involved. A sober reflection with the solitary meal and the veritas in vino can easily mark a milestone or a major turning point in one's life. Just as poignantly, an intimate shared rumination between you and your significant other are the cornerstones upon which we build the stories of our lives and from which we set forth for action and adventure. It is that part of ourselves enraptured in the details of the moment that elevates the act from simple, passive consumption for sustenance and nutrition into the realm of humanity. It is what gives us meaning. It is why sometimes we simply crave a really good burger with family or friends. And it is also why we do not wake each day and in robotic fashion seek out daily RDAs, caloric minimums, and essential minerals. It is why such a sterile approach is always, ultimately, a failure. You simply cannot have dinner without involving the diner. It is an interactive process and is fundamental to our perception of the universe as Schrödinger's cat. Without our experience of it, there is no universe. We seek out food because we seek to be experienced. Our personal health is the result of the interface between our genetics and our environment. Our most intimate interaction with the environment is what we choose to consume each day. Our personal health then becomes, to a large extent, a result of our comestible choices. And yet, there is more. How we feel can influence what we seek. When we are unhappy, we crave comfort and comfort food. There are dishes for celebration, refections for reflection, and a potluck for new acquaintance. What we eat determines our gut microbiome, which in turn affects our health and how we feel. Our existence is a food-based microcosm of personal physics. This is the secret world of food. Slight variations in our DNA make each of us a unique being. But in the rich tapestry that becomes our lives, the events we undergo weave the story one thread, one table, one repast at a time. Central to all is the encounter, but the ones that involve the meal are ultimately among the most vibrant and indelible. Like all living creatures, we seek to avoid suffering, and we seek out that which brings us pleasure. But the avoidance of suffering is a short-term strategy. It is a survival action, and in many instances, simply a reaction. The pleasure principle is our long game. It is in short order why most endeavors like dieting fail, because there simply is no salvation in deprivation. In an age that finds us incredibly interconnected and interwoven into a virtual life and existence, one that is somewhat depressingly depersonalized and impoverished, we return to our hardwired basic human reflexes. Hundreds of thousands of years ago, a small tribe of men, women, and children gathered around a fire. There was security, and as the very first chefs sizzled meats and griddled cakes, there was sustenance, and there was life. And from this humble beginning sprang humanity. You know, a recent leading food magazine asked on the cover, when did we all become so food obsessed? The answer, my friends, is that we have always been food obsessed, for that is the wellspring from whence we came. It is only with the disconnection and isolation that is the price of our interwoven social fabric, a heretofore unseen complex constructed out of technological marvels, that we are stripped to our core. Like a spider on the web, we can feel the pulse of the world around us and respond in kind without ever leaving the security of our own making. But we were not made to swing alone. This is the connection between the personal and the plate and the planet, and ultimately between each other, between you and I. We share the soil in which we grow our roots, and a singular meal crafted with integrity and purpose can strengthen the human bond between us as no tweet or chat room can. This simple but remarkable fact is the secret of food and the power of the meal. Thousands of years ago, Socrates boldly observed that the unexamined life is not worth living. What must be examined are the individual acts, the experiences, that when strung together is your personal history, your movie. And so ask yourself, is it Oscar worthy? But the shadows that linger behind us can be difficult to see for ourselves and let alone examine. And perhaps that is why at the end of days, I've yet to hear patients long for another house or another car or any other physical stuff. Neither do I hear them wistfully pine for more hours spent at work behind the desk. No, what they recall at the end of days, what they recount, what they rejoice upon, are the experiences, the simple meals shared, and the times enjoyed. The saddest passings I have had to endure have actually been among those who sport the richest tables, the fullest larders, and the most expensive plates. But the sadness is that it was a table set for one. A shared meal is a shared experience and a rare opportunity to compare notes and offer observation, guidance, and solace on equal footing. In such a setting, we are all cavemen around the fire. Such a happening allows us to emerge from dark times, and it is only in the bright light of a revealing noonday sun do we cast no shadow. So take some time, share a meal, become experienced. And that's a diagnosis for today.